access number 30640, Mr. Len Abbott, Reel 6. Now, anything else happening while you're there? So, you're training. What about recreations?
They played on football and they laid on gymnastics and all things like that, boxing matches. I mean, we had all that kind of thing going on.
Was sport seen as very important?
Oh, yeah. Well, they had to keep you exercising well so that they would keep it going all the time so that you wouldn't drop down beyond anything, if you can understand my meaning. So what they did, they did things like that. They did keep you, they give you plenty of football, plenty of basketball, all that kind of thing. So really, and boxing, that was a big thing in Korea, in Hong Kong. When we was out there, that was a big thing.
And did you take part at all?
I did.
Now tell us about that.
I come unstuck.
So how was it organised?
Organisation was very, very good. I've got to be fair. The organisation on it was very, very good. You go up and they would say, right, in a fortnight's time, we're going to have, we're having boxing matches. And we're going to go against this A team, against B team and all this. And now do you want to belong to it? And if you did, you got little perks.
What kind of little perks?
You wouldn't have to go on training, do training. You'd go to the gym and do their boxing training. Or you wouldn't have to do jankers and all things like that. They got you out of everything sort of thing, you know. So, of course, everybody used to try and get in it. Well, unfortunately, I went up against a geezer. And I'll tell you what, he was smaller than me. And I thought, oh, this is it. I'm going to go in there, I'm going to punch his head in. And he hit me twice. And that was it. I woke up, I was in. Tell me how he hit me. I ain't got a clue. But he did, he hit me. And of course, I went down and that was it. Like, that was my game over. But
you didn't manage to hit him at all, though?
No, I didn't touch him. That was a funny part about it. We sparred in the middle, sparring around, and, you know, throwing a few left hooks and a couple of rights, but nothing landed. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up, and they're telling me, don't worry, you know, you've been that, you're finished, you're out. But, but as a unit, see, if you join the boxing and you would say 18, if the A team won, then all the perks the A team had won, you would get. So if they was going to give you a fortnight away or something like that, you would do exactly the same. It just wasn't won, don't matter whether you won or you lost. But they would give it to you all. So that was a nice thing to have.
Was there any special training? You know, I mean, a lot of what you said, route marches, the exercise, that looks like normal training. Did you do anything or any new weapons or anything new at all?
No, that's for later on.
Okay. Now, what about, did you get out in Kowloon or over to the, because that's the new territories, isn't it?
Yes.
Did you get out and about in Kowloon?
Yeah. You went out every night. I mean, once you'd finished at 4 o'clock, you was allowed to go out.
So what would you do in Kowloon? Would you go there or would you go to the island?
Well, no, you go to Kowloon, and then what you would do, you go to pitches or you go here, there and everywhere. And we landed up in the wrong place. Don't ask me what. We landed up in the wrong place. And we was told there was a raid. The MPs raided it. So, of course, what they said was, you go that way. So, of course, we all run out. And I went into, I don't know if you know their paddy fields. You know what they keep all their... Well, I landed up in that. And I didn't go just in. I went right under. So that when I come up, I had it in my hair.
This is because they use human manure, I think.
That's correct.
And
because they used to come around, we used to call it the shit buckets. They'd come around, and where we were going to the toilet, they used to come along, and they used to pick up the bucket, and they used to take them away. And if you was in the wrong place, in other words, the wind was blowing towards you, you'd cop all that. But anyway, what happened was, we went, and we all ran out, and I fell down this thing. I got up, and we went back to the guard room, and of course, all the others are late. We're all late. We're all going back late. We went walking in, and this sergeant, he went, "Oh, bloody hell, who's that?" And he took one look at me, and he said, "Shower, go on, you." And of course, I was the one who ran out. And went and had a shower and done everything. All the others got nicked to hold all on jankers. I wasn't, because I'd fell in this water. But no, that's one good. We had a lot of.
So what would you do? I mean, you'd go to the cinema for a drink. You didn't drink much still,
though. No, I still didn't drink, no. No, the only time I drank was at the wrong. When I was home here, mainly. Because we had to go to Canterbury and places like that. But that's the only time I ever drank.
So out there, you just sit with your friends?
I sat with them, and they was I enjoyed their company, they enjoyed mine, so really we was not too bad at all.
Did you go to the island, actually?
No, we didn't. Well, I didn't, anyway.
How did you get on with the, Hong Kongians, the Chinese, most of the Chinese, aren't they? How did you get on with them?
We conned them left, right and centre.
In what way? Go on, I've heard that before. How did you con them?
Right, well, what they would do, they'd come along and they would
say to you,
we conned them. Well, what they used to do, you'd get a pound note or a dollar and you'd have your girlfriend put on in this half, and you'd have your own photo in this half, and then they would go along and take away the photo, your photos, come back and give them to you, and you used to look at them and say, "Nah, I don't want them, they're horrible, you know," and all this, and they would turn around and say, "Well, all right then, we'll take it for $3 and then they would go down to $1 and you say, "All right, I'll do you a favor," and you used to take them. Another one trick we used to have, they used to bring around watches, lighters, anything like that, anything we wanted to buy, if you like. And of course, what they used to do, they used to go along and they used to take two, but then they carry on taking them. You see, one bloke would be there and he'd start passing them around. Well, as they're passing around, you get one or two missing. And they knew it and all, and they used to do their conkers at you. Or we'd, another one was ice cream. They'd bring along ice cream, and you used to have a lick. You'd say, "No, I don't want it." And they used to give it back to them. And of course, they didn't want to know. And they used to say, "You buy," and "Not me, and I don't want to know." And of course, they used to give it to you at the end. But that's what they, I mean, you did con them. No doubt about it.
Did you get on well with them? Well,
yes, we did get on well.
You didn't dislike them then?
No.
Now, anything else happened? How long were you there, firstly, at Kowloon?
I would roughly say we was there for 3 months.
So till about September?
Yes, yep.
And anything else, or any other stories of that time you want to tell us?
Not really. Not. I mean, if I'd have known I was going to do something like this when I come back, I would have most probably thought about it. But really, let's put it this way. I had a good time. When I went there, I did have a good time.
It was an enjoyable posting.
Yes. I think so, personally. I mean, that's my opinion. Although every national serviceman wants to go home. I don't know why. But you always had it in the day. If you said to a national serviceman, "How long you got?" It'd say, three months, and so many days, and I'll be demobbed, you know, that type of thing. But really, I did enjoy what I was. A lot of the stuff we did do as well was swimming, but you wasn't allowed to swim of an evening.
Tell us, where was the swimming?
In the barracks, you used to have swimming pools, proper swimming pools. Or you could go to...
Could you swim? You could.
Yes, I could. Well, let's put it this way. I could swim a length, so that was good enough for me to be able to swim. But you wasn't allowed to go in the water of a night.
Why not?
Too many of the bugs come down.
Mosquitoes
come down and done it wrong for you. So they never used to allow you to go swimming of a night. That was off bounds, you know. But you could get up in the morning, say 7 o'clock in the morning, and go swimming. You could have a swim. You could do what you like. So really, it wasn't too bad.
You were a Royal Fusilier. You knew you were going there.
Oh yes,
and
yeah.
You knew they were in a career. So
that's correct.
Were you waiting for your draft? Well, you know.
Yeah, but while you were doing the draft, don't forget you was also learning a lot about the things that were going on out there.
You were briefed. Now tell me about that. We haven't done that.
Well, as far as I was concerned, I mean, they kept on telling us again. They took you into rooms where they had proper. How can I put it to you? Like you go into a room and you'd be in a lecture room, and they would tell you all about what was going on, and when you reached a battalion, what they would expect of you, all this type of thing. Other than that, really, I mean, we were only infantrymen. That's all we were. There was no, nobody around me that was a signalman or a gun specialist, a sniper, or anything like that at all. There was nothing like that for us at all. We was only there for that particular reason. So, within reason, that's how we done it.
So what happens next then? Around about September.
And then what they did, they made us. They said, right, you're off to Korea now. So they put us on a, what should I say? Well, it was more like a pleasure boat, and they took you across to Korea, and then you landed up.
Now, do you remember that trip? Was it?
Well, it was just. Couple of day and a half trip,
and that was to Busan, was it?
Yes, yeah. We went across there, and we managed to get there, and then we were told, in between time, you know, these lectures are what I'm trying to explain to you. You know, these lectures that you were given, they were explaining to you where you mustn't be silly. You mustn't do nothing silly like go out on your own, because if you did, you'd land up with your throat cut and your hands behind your back, sort of thing, you know, because that's what they used to do to them all, believe it or not. And of course, we were told that kind of a thing, that for us not to get caught in this type of thing, we would have to be careful and make sure that we've done what we're going to do.
So, what happened when you got to Busan?
Right, then we went to a camp, and we were there for roughly, roughly a week. And then we were loaded up on lorries.
Now, what was the camp like? What do you remember of that period? It was a transit camp, didn't it?
It was just an ordinary camp. You didn't do no training, no nothing.
And it was at Busan?
That was at Busan. Yeah, you didn't do no training, no nothing. So, and then what your job was, to be told where you was going to go, where you was going to go, where I was going to go, and they worked it out that we was going to go up by lorry to, and we did have, all this time, we had a bloke called Korean Joe. I don't know if anybody else remembers him, but I do. And he was a sort of a boy that had already been to Korea, and he'd taken a bashing. he'd taken it like he'd they'd wherever he was, he didn't realise it that they could be so hard. The shells kept coming over, and he hid in the into trenches and all that. They should never have sent him back, in actual fact. But of course,
now who was Korean? He was a Korean, a South Korean.
No, he was a British soldier.
A British soldier.
Oh, he's a British soldier. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, he's called Korean.
Yeah, they called him Korean Joe, because whatever he done, you done. If he was to say there's a shell coming, you'd listen to him and you'd drop down and you'd hide yourself. And I guarantee you, within a couple of seconds, there was a shell coming over and banging on the floor. So, I mean, you did listen to him. And when on the way up, that we did have a couple of scares.
What, in the lorry?
In the lorry.
Now, tell me about the lorry journey. What was it like?
It was one of them American type lorries, you know, the automatic ones, automatic lorry. But what it was, if it was going up and they would start shelling you, well, then you'd have to pull over and you'd jump out the lorry and you'd go and get yourself on the side of the road. Now, if he told you, that's what I'm saying, this Korean Joe said to you, there's a couple of mortars coming over, you didn't argue with him, you listened to him and you got down. And I guarantee you, within a couple of seconds, there was a couple of bangs going off. But we was all right until we actually got to the line. And then, all they just said, right, used to onto that one, used to onto that line, and used to, and they just took you as you come along. I suppose what it was just reinforcements, that's all. That's all you were, really.
You were joined, so this was still September, you think?
Yes, roughly September,
and
yeah.
You were joining the 1st Battalion?
First Battalion, the Royal Fusiliers.
Now, what was your first impression of the unit? I mean, you know, it's the first time, they were your unit, really, but it's the first time being with them. What did you think of them, you know, your first impressions? I mean, did they know what they were doing? Were they confident?
No, they didn't. I mean, all right, I did know what I was doing, but I don't think they did neither.
Were they keen?
Oh, everybody was keen, but number one, we didn't have the right equipment, did we?
In what way?
Well, you didn't have a bulletproof vest, you didn't have the vest. They used to give you a string vest. Now, there wasn't enough for them to go around. They used to give you a pair of boots that were twice as big, really too big for you. But because you put in these special socks to keep your feet warm and not all things like that. Now, this is the kind of gear that they didn't have. So when we went out there, really, little did we know, we didn't have enough gear to go out there with. And there was a couple of MPs that come over, and they made sure that when they went back, they started doing things for us, like, you know, making sure that we got all the equipment that we really needed.
Do you know which company you were put in, or platoon?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I don't remember that one.
So what was your first impression? You joined them, you were just spread out. Where were they? Which sector of Korea were they in?
Is
it Kwangsang area? It's where a lot of the fighting was, near the engine.
This is the area where the Black Watch supposed to have killed a lot of Koreans, and they come marching through, and they went right through the whole lot of us, and they done a naughty job on us that day, because what they were doing, they were waiting for them to get coming up to the line, and then they were shooting them when they were putting Christmas presents on the on the lines.
Now, that's in December.
That was in December,
so
yeah.
That's a bit later, but that's where it was.
That's roughly where the area that I'm talking about.
Now, so you joined them. You joined 3 months before that, though.
Yeah, well, I was already long to the Fusiliers. That's what I'm saying. When I...
Oh, no, you always were...
Oh, sorry.
When you got out there, it was September.
Yes.
That's right.
Don't forget, I was in Hong Kong for a little while. I mean, I was in... again, I was in there, believe it or not, I was in there for...
You said 3 months. That was
yes. Yeah, it must have been 3 months, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So you got it. Anyway, so what happened? You spread out along the line.
Well, what they did, they put you in different platoons. Like, you know, they most probably wanted three to go in this one because they were down three on that one, or they wanted six up the other end, and they put some up the other end. But when we done it, we went along, I can't remember the... Corporal Darby was our platoon... thingy, corporal, because he got killed. I remember that, and I was there when he got killed. So,
now what was the line like? Can you describe the defences, as much detail as you can? What I mean is the trenches, the barbed wire, and then later on the bunkers.
Well, when you went into the bunkers, when you went into the line, you never went on top. You always walked around the trenches, always. No matter where you went, there was a trench to go into that particular place.
Now, how deep were the trenches?
Deep enough for my height, so there must have been at least 7 foot high.
So they were well over your head?
Oh, well over head, so that when you walked through, you went through and there was no chance of you getting... There was some places that it didn't go as high as that, but mainly it was...
And how wide?
Roughly, like a proper, I would say, 4 foot wide. You know, 4 foot wide.
Just about room for two of you to get past.
That's right. You know, you could run past one and have
things like fire steps and things like that.
Oh, on the front line, they had places for you to go and stand on, because don't forget, you used to have to stand on them, and you'd have to look out. The front way, and then they would come along and relieve you about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or 4 o'clock in the morning. So you come along, you'd relieve somebody at say.
I'll come back to the guard. Yeah. Okay. So there was a fire step on the front. Now, what about the barbed wire? Was the barbed wire which barbed wire?
Oh, there was plenty of barbed wire all the way down, and you had certain sections, believe it or not, where you could, you went. And it would easily be open for you. I mean, well, to let us in and to let us out. But because you used to have to go out on night patrol, and that would be...
How thick was the barbed wire?
It was just ordinary...
masses of it, rolls of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, rolls of it, yeah.
How deep would it all be?
Ooh.
Because in the first row, it sort of could be... 20-30
yards deep. More than that. It was really when they put the barbed wire up. I mean, you didn't have one strand coming across. I mean, there was about six or seven coming across up the hill. I mean, there wasn't just one. There was so many of them. It was unbelievable, really, in that respect.
Now, what about the bunkers? What was your bunker like?
Well, my bunker, the one I remember. You went in there and you had three beds. You had the bottom bed, the middle bed, and the top bed. Nothing was made. You just went in and you just went to bed. Like, you know, when you went to sleep, you just didn't bother to even undress. You went straight to, because this is now coming up to the winterish time. So how can I put it to you? You didn't bother about changing.
You just went to bed in what you were wearing.
Because don't forget, you'd be woken up about 4 hours later because you'd have to go out again.
We'll come to the routine. So what was the what could you see? How big was your bunker? Roughly. You got a bunker bed in.
I would say you had three either side. So on an average, you'd have roughly about 6 foot in between the beds. So you'd have, so it'd be roughly, I would say, about about 12 foot wide from the.
So it's one bunker, three beds there.
That's it, and then on the other side, and it just went out, and you went in.
And how deep would it go? Was it just as wide as deep as the bed?
Well, it would be as deep as you stand up in it. I mean, I used to stand up.
No, how far back into the.
Well, it all depends how big you was. It took my length. So it must have, it would even take your length. You know, it doesn't matter. I would say it was at least went back 7 foot.
Was there any heating in there?
No.
None at all?
No.
No improvised heating?
No.
Anything else about the bunker?
Only when you used to have your grub, if they started to decide it and throw something over, you get so much dirt in your grub, but you used to still eat it. And that's what I can't understand when they say, you know, you mustn't eat anything over the ground.
Now, if we look at a typical day's routine, you know, and then we'll go through a lot. You know, a typical day and what would happen to you? So when you, what time would your day start?
Well, your day would start when you come off of whatever you was on guard. Mainly, you, because don't forget, although we were in our own beds, like we call them beds, but although we was in our own beds, we used to have to, how can I explain it? We weren't always on guard. So really, you would be, like you could go, walk out and go behind the line a little bit where you would have your food would be down there.
Well, let's start. So what, say you get up in the morning. Say you work on duty the night before. So you get up in the morning. What time would you get up about? It'd just be dawn, whatever that was.
Well, more or less, yes. Yeah, more or less. Dawn. It'd be dawn. When you woke up, it'd be dawn.
And what would you do first?
Well, you get up. They used to give you a cup of tea. That was the first thing they did. And then if you wasn't actually on guard, as far as it, as far as the thingy went, you would then go be able to go through the back and go out the back of the line. So then you would go, because don't forget, you was only allowed, how long did we stay out there for?